affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry? For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience? In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respect of persons. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Holy Scripture. You may be seated. Oh, beloved saints, friends, I've struggled last week as I prayed about what to speak to you about this morning. But I feel as if I have clarity. It is to be a brief and simple sermon, but I hope encouraging and comforting to you, the people of God. We've noted before, repeatedly, that the Pauline epistles are intensely practical, for Paul is appointed to a special mission. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Listen, Paul is our apostle. He is our apostle. In many ways, his mission is much more difficult and complex than the others. Think with me. Judaism stressed education from the very beginning. Judaism stressed education. The early Deuteronomic command to the Hebrews was, teach your children well. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Now listen, in general, this was the case. It was the case. So Peter and Andrew and James and John, though fishermen, were educated at home and probably at Sabbath school, having sung the Psalms and heard the law and the prophets expounded regularly from their youth. And they took the gospel first to Jerusalem and then to the ends of the earth. But our apostle, Paul, the persecutor of the primitive church, was given a different mission. The word of God to Ananias concerning Paul was this: he is the chosen vessel under me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Acts 9:15-16. Now listen, when Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, his hearers most often didn't have the educational background that the other apostles could just assume in their hearers. These Gentiles didn't have it. These Gentiles hadn't grown up singing psalms and hearing the prophets and the law expounded. They hadn't been to Sabbath school. As a matter of fact, many of them had probably worshipped at the temple of Isis or Athena. And they actually had to be instructed that it is inappropriate to worship God through consorting with temple prostitutes. Doesn't work. So we see an intensely practical instruction from the great Apostle Paul repeatedly in his epistles to these Gentile churches. Do this. Don't do this. Don't lie. Don't quarrel and fight. Love your wife and do not be bitter against her. Teach your children. Do not provoke them. Teach them. Be at peace with your neighbors. Pray for your leaders. Pray for Caesar. And our text for the morning is verse 15. Hey, look there. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Intensely practical instruction from our apostle. Saints, please hear me. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, Paul's Greek for heart here is exactly what we expect. It's the Greek word for heart, cardia. And hence we have cardiologists and cardiac surgeons, and so forth. Paul's use of that word, though, is demonstrative of the literary phenomenon that we call idiom. For those of you who have been out of high school for a while, I remind you that an idiom is a word or phrase in the usage of a language that's peculiar to itself, having a meaning that cannot be derived from the conjoined meanings of its elements. An example of the usage of idiom would be, we say something is up in the air, meaning it's undecided. Or we say we put up with something, meaning that we tolerate it or we endure it. Now imagine if you were a non-English speaker, imagine that you're Chinese, and you heard someone mention that something is, quote, up in the air. You'd probably look up, expecting to see a balloon or an airplane. You can't get there by the constituent elements. You see, it's an idiom. But if you and I know it, because we're very familiar to speak in the language. As I've mentioned to you often, listen, the Hebrew idea, and in Paul's case, the Greek idea of the cardia, the heart, is idiomatic, listen, of the mind. It's idiomatic of the mind. We know that the human heart is that physical organ responsible for the pumping of the blood, for maintaining the circulation of the blood. And the scriptures teach the life of the flesh is in the blood. And as such, listen, idiomatically, the heart is the center of life. And so, lexically, here, my D-bag, which I consulted, can define or describe cardia as, quote, the seat of the spiritual, physical, and mental life. And the center and source of the whole inner life, listen, with its thinking, feeling, and volition. So listen, in light of this idiom, let me paraphrase Paul in Colossians 3:15. The text says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Paraphrase, listen. Let the peace of God rule in your physical, spiritual, and mental life. Listen. Let the peace of God rule in your whole inner life with its thinking, feeling, and volition. Let the peace of God rule in your mind. Thank you. Please listen. We need this week. Let me consider this apostolic command. A command that is given to us in love for our own good. Let the peace of God rule in your mind. Consider the presuppositions behind this command. Consider the presuppositions. Paul presupposes that you have or possess a mind. He presupposes that you have or possess a mind. Listen, he presupposes that this mind that you possess, listen, is ruled. This mind is ruled. It is under some authority, some command, some law, some power. And he presupposes that you have some degree of control over who or what rules your mind. Because you are the one who obeys or revolts against such rule. In other words, you let someone or something or some spirit, or some attitude, or some idea, you let some things rule your mind. You see? Because he says, you let the peace of God rule. Now, what does Paul mean by rule here? When he says, let the peace of God rule in your mind. His Greek translated rule here is rabeiopto, and it means to be an umpire, to decide or determine, to direct, control, or rule. The 18th century Scottish Baptist minister Alexander McLaurin, a great writer, Alexander McLaurin said of the rule, quote, the figure is that of an umpire or arbitrator at the games, who, looking down on the arena, watches that the combatants strive lawfully and adjudges the prize. The peace of Christ, then, is to sit enthroned as an umpire in the heart. Or if we might give a medieval instead of a classical shape to the figure, that fair sovereign peace is to be queen of the tournament. And her eyes rain influence and adjudge the prize. When contending impulses and reasons distract and seem to pull us in opposite directions, let her settle which is to prevail. We may make a rude test of good and evil by their effects upon our inward repose. Did you hear that? We may make a rude test of good and evil by their effects on our inward repose. Whatever mars our tranquility, ruffling the surface so that Christ's image is no longer visible, is to be avoided. The stillness of spirit is very sensitive and shrinks away at the presence of an evil thing. Let it be for us what the barometer is to the sailor, and if it sinks, let us be sure that a storm is at hand. There is nothing so precious that it is worthwhile to lose the peace of Christ for the sake of it. Close quote. This is a new week, but beloved, last week, our hearts, our minds, our whole inner lives, our feelings, our volitions, last week, they had a ruler, they had an umpire, they had some authority. My beloved, listen, this week, starting today, this week, our hearts, our minds, our whole inner lives, our thinking, our feelings, our volitions, this week, they will have an umpire, an arbitrator. This week, in our minds, saints, this week in our minds, there will be a resident monarch, a ruling impetus, a controlling preoccupation. It might be, listen, it might be the cares of this world, or the deceitfulness of riches. It might be family trouble or crazy politics or COVID-19. It might be personal illness or violence or death. Listen, in this fallen world, saints, there is a lot to disturb our minds. In this present evil world, to use a Pauline phrase, in this present evil world, there is a lot to breach our inner peace. Okay, listen, hear me please. I told you, Paul is intensely practical. And his instruction to us is this. You, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You, Christian, let the peace of God reign in your mind by faith in obedience to this apostolic command given in the authority of Jesus. By faith, listen, let us choose the peace of God as the ruler of our minds, as our heart boss, as our inner chief, as our affection director. friend, how shall we do this? Please, please listen carefully. Breachers of peace are sure to come. Disturbers of the peace of the saints are sure to come. And woe to the one who would offend us. We are his little ones. And it would be better for a millstone in a deep sea than for those that would disturb the peace of God's little ones. And what is this, and how shall we resist these disturbers of our peace? Well, listen. Since the attack is upon our minds, our inner life, the repulsion of the attack must also be a repulsion in the mind. Most often, it must involve an interruption, a revision, a correction of our mental dialogues. Let me say that again. Listen. Most often, it must involve an interruption, a revision, a correction in our mental dialogue. Listen. Of necessity, it will involve us telling ourselves the truth, reminding ourselves of the truth when confronted with a fleshly or a satanic lie. Christian, you think with me for a minute. Something's going to take you out. Is that right? Something's going to take you out. Something's going to take every one of us out. And if that's so, it might be somewhat. Something's going to take you out. Should we not say with righteous Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? Job 13:15. Saints, we should. If COVID-19 turns out to be the God-ordained thing that takes you out, can you say, blessed be the name of the Lord? What if the peace disturber is the idea that we ourselves are a mess and unworthy to call ourselves Christians? Does that bother you? Well, saints, we're not claiming worthiness in ourselves. Our claim, our hope is in Jesus, and He is worthy. God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Our hope and confidence before God is not in our worthiness. Listen, we hope in His love. And He has shown that He loves us, haven't He? He has demonstrated. He has proved it. He has given for us His only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. What are the disturbances in our families? The strife, the division, even violence or death. Well, listen. The cornerstone of the apostolic gospel is this. Listen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. cornerstone of the apostolic gospel is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christian, do you understand that? Jesus is a friend for sinners. Not the righteous, not the righteous, not the righteous. Sinners, Jesus came to call. The sick ones are the ones who need a physician. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. So listen, friend. Jesus of Nazareth, God, specializes in working on dysfunctional families. He's a specialist. I know there are things about in the world that Christians think they have things all figured out. I've met some of those folks. If you raise your kids a certain way, they'll all turn out great. And other lies like that. Have you met some of those people? God help you listen to people. God help you. If you buy into those eyes, those lies, and you young people, listen. God help you. They're fake news. They're lies. Consider Jacob and Esau, friend, sons of the blessed Isaac. He'd raise those boys different. They sat at the same dinner table every night. And answer this question for me scripturally, Christian. What was the difference between them? What was the difference between Jacob and Esau? The difference between them was the love of God. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:13. Listen, Isaac had a jacked up thing. And Jacob did too. And David did too. And let me tell you what made the difference for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Matthew and John and Paul. The love of God. That is what made the difference, friend. The love of Almighty God. And saints, listen, as I look at you this morning, I must say to you, do not believe a satanic lie. Blessed art thou, beloved of the Lord. Blessed art thou, beloved of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, pray for Bill and Sister Jennifer. They're sick. They want to be here. Pray for the honor of honor. Brother John and Sister Judy and the extended pain family and all those that have been affected by sickness and tragedy. And pray for Sister Leslie and Brother Vic. Those that are sick and are hurting. Pray for the gospel of Jesus, gospel of peace, to constrain more and more souls. That inner peace may transform troubled minds into refuges of calmness. And that inner peace may manifest itself in external blessing. The saints, listen. Take solace in the love of God. That is what makes the difference. And here obey this apostolic command. Let the peace of God rule in your lives. Jesus is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. One of the wonderful names of our wonderful Lord is this: Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. By his finished work, he has secured our peace with God, so that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Let the peace of God reign, rule in your heart, in your mind. O happy soul that lives on high, while men lie groveling here, his hopes are fixed above the sky, and faith forbids his fear. His conscience knows no secret stings, while peace and joy combine. The form of life whose holy springs are hidden and divine. He waits in secret on his God in secret sees. Let earth be all in arms abroad. He dwells in heaven of peace. His pleasures rise from things unseen, beyond the world and time, where neither eyes nor ears have been, nor thoughts of sinners call. He wants no pomp nor royal crown to raise his figure here, content and pleased to live unknown, but Christ is life of here. He leaps to heaven's eternal hill to meet the glorious day, but patient waits his Savior's will to fetch his soul away. Please stand with me for prayer. Oh dear Holy Father, I depend wholly upon thee. Wean me from all other dependencies. Thou art my all, and thou dost overrule all and delight in me. Thou art the foundation of goodness. How can I distrust thee? How be anxious about what happens to me? In the light of thy preciousness, the world and all its enjoyments are infinitely poor. But I love thee, my benefactor and all my benefits, not forgetting that the greatest danger arises from my advantages. Produce in me self-despair that will make Jesus more precious to me. Make me more delightful in all his offices, more pleasurable in all his ways. And may I love his commands as well as his promises. Thank you for his peace. Help me to discern between true and false love, the one consisting of supreme love to thee, the other not. The former uniting thy glory and man's happiness, that they may become one common interest. The latter disjointing and separating them both, seeking the latter with neglect of the former. Teach me that genuine love is different in kind from that wrought by rational arguments or the motive of self-interest. That such love is pleasing passion, pouring joy to the mind. Oh, grant me to distinguish between the genuine and the false, and to rest in thee, who art all love. In Jesus' name, amen.